Hello and welcome back to Astro Hotline. I'm your host, Tess, and it's so great to finally be able to talk to you guys again. It's been a wild month, not a good one either. So I've been kind of like all over the place, and I'm finally here. I'm ready to talk about astrology, and hopefully you guys are too and ready to listen. So I've been meaning to sort of record this episode. I did like a rough draft on my iPhone, and then I was like, I don't really want to post the episode record on my iPhone, even though I have like an XS Max or whatever. So I was like, I'm just going to wait until I get my ideas better suited together, because it's a really important episode. There's a lot that I want to talk about, based on just not astrological knowledge, but also personal experience. So one of the things that a lot of people on Twitter like to talk about is Mars. And Mars is an interesting planet because, unlike Venus and Mercury, Mars doesn't have a set degree configuration of its relation to the Sun. So whereas Venus can only be about 48 degrees max, Mercury can only be 28 degrees max, Mars is kind of like, fuck that. Like, I'm not really gonna do that. Like, I'm not gonna have like a patterned path orbiting around the Sun, type of thing, and its degrees and all that. So really, at the time that you're kind of born, Mars can be in any sign. Doesn't matter what your sun sign is. Whereas like a Venus, if you're born, you know, during Aquarius season, then your Venus can only be two signs over Aquarius, or in Aquarius, or two signs under Aquarius. So you have like a couple of options. Mercury, on the other hand, can only be either in Pisces, Aquarius, or Capricorn. Those are three options, because it can only be 28 degrees max. So that's like a little interesting fact. That's why Venus and Mercury can never square or opposite the Sun. It's just not a thing. Whereas Mars, it can do whatever it wants. It could square, it could oppose, it could conjunct, it doesn't matter. Or it could be an inversion where they don't really see each other at all. So for me, mine are sextile, luckily, thankfully. fun. But, you know, also, I was born during a retrograde Mars period, which doesn't happen very often. So difficult, and we will get into sort of differences between when your Mars is debilitated through like a sign relationship and through like the retrograde, because they mean different things. But anyway, getting back to the meaning of Mars. Now, for me, I know a lot of people talk about it as sort of the warrior planet. That is our drive, our sexuality, our aggression. And there are a few things that I agree with in that. There are some things that I'm just like, don't really care for. For me, how I've always seen Mars to be is two things. Entitlement and ownership. Those are like the two biggest words I associate with Mars, and the rest are kind of like embellishments. I feel like, yeah, that could fit into Mars depending on, you know, the person or whatever. It does represent our drive in the sense that it's very primal, it's very survival based. It's the things that we do in the moments of conflict, in the moments of being, you know, introduced to adversity, and how we handle that adversity and how we hold on to it. But most, more than anything, it's about the things that we feel entitled to. It's about how we own ourselves and how potentially we may own other people, and sort of the inflictions of that. And so let me give you an example by what I mean. So the reason why I feel like entitlement is a very big aspect of Mars is because, what is the sign that is represented by Mars? It's typically the, what we call the male symbol, or the symbol related to men. Now, I don't like associating planets with gender, but I'm going to do it in this case because I feel like it's useful. I'm going to pull, it's the useful card. And so when I think of men, what do I think of? I think of men taking up space. I think of men having control and doing what they want and not giving a fuck about what the consequences may be. And that sounds a lot like Mars. Like, in terms of astrology, what Mars represents, I mean, it just doesn't really care, but it's also someone that, if it what it wants is what it's going to get, and it's going to figure out how to get it. So it's very motivated by wants and needs and things that they desire or that they crave. And really, depending on your Mars and what it's doing in your chart, that could either be an easy task or it could be a very difficult task. So speaking in terms of traditional astrology, Mars is often seen as something that is meant to sever and separate and cause excess, which then causes inflammation. And we'll get into that later. But those are some other terms to kind of think of when conceptualizing Mars. So going back into the example of this conflation of like Mars and men entitlement, you know, think of also how men feel entitled to other people. And by other people, specifically women, and how, because of sort of the society that we live in that's constructed by patriarchal terms and by a patriarchal structure, men are kind of programmed and socialized into the society thinking that they have full control of women's bodies, and that if they want something, and that something being sex, they could easily go to a woman and either ask her like, hey, do you want to fuck? And if she doesn't want to, then it's like, okay. Or it could be like, I'm gonna get that no matter if you say yes or no. And so think about that. And that's not to say that Mars is rapey or anything, but also thinking about how this is a planet that is, you know, its symbol is often associated with men, and not all men rape or do those things, but think of it as sort of men as a gender in terms of, you know, societal gender and how it's socialized in our society. Those are some of the things that we think about, right? And of course, identity, other factors of identity could affect that privilege that men have. But it's also important to realize that overall, cisgendered men have a lot of space that they can take up compared to other genders, compared to women, you know, trans identities, non-binary, you know, all of those things. And race also plays a major factor into that as well. So, I mean, thinking of how entitlement also works spatially. And I have a few examples about this because men are a big, you can almost see the way that men feel comfortable in public spaces and the way that they walk, the way they talk to you or approach you, or even just like in public, like just out and about. I was in the library one time doing my work, studying, all that type of stuff. This guy comes in and he walks in the most pompous, most stoic way possible. I'm talking like full on big steps, like almost grandiose body movements. It was really weird and awkward to see, but it's also like the way that he was walking, he felt really entitled to the space. Like he was king of this library, this small art library. And I'm just sitting there, I'm like laughing to myself, but also thinking like, wow, like comparing myself and the way that I walk in and out of spaces is really reserved. It's really like looking down and not looking at anyone, just kind of shrinking myself as I'm walking or taking up space, which I really do anyway. So it's just interesting to see that, how like just look at the way that men walk sometimes is what I have to ask you, and just see how sometimes ridiculous that they like the way that they walk. Another example that I have is I was walking on my way to class, and by walking I mean like from my house. I don't live very far from the main campus, so I was sort of on the sidewalk, and there was two men coming my way, and one of them, who was like twice my height, was just kind of like, as they were approaching me, was just like, you know, doing that gesture of like give me a high five type of thing, and just kind of invading my personal space, even though that we were in public. Like, so like that's not a thing that you do to someone that you don't know. It's like, hey, give me a high five, you know. And I've had that happen to me many times, and I mean many times when I was in high school, back in my hometown. It's nothing anything different, you know, being 21 going on 22 very soon. And at college town, it's just men feel like they could just go up to you and like be like, hey, give me a high five, or like, hey, like, you know, just like talking to me. And I'm just, the type of person that just doesn't want to talk to people in public that I don't know, because it's just strange, and I just try to minimize any possible conversation. So those themes to me really kind of pop up when I think about Mars, because Mars is very much that, and it's not something that could be necessarily bad in certain cases. You might think of it as, but it's just sort of the way that you own yourself in the most healthiest way, Mars way possible, and also how you, you know, move towards what you want. And so when we think of Mars as entitlement, we think of it as things that we want and things that belong to us, things that we deserve, that this is ours and that we need that. And so when you think of it in that way, it makes someone very aggressive. It makes someone very determined, someone who has a lot of, you're going to need a lot of energy for whatever it is that you want, because if it is something that you want and that you can't get, it's going to require strategy, or it's going to require strength. May require courage, you know, either way. It's just, it's a very mobile planet. And it also kind of describes our body and the way that we, you know, embody ourselves in a more, not in a intimate way as the moon may, but in terms of how we own our identity, how we own the parts of ourselves and the way that we use them. And sometimes in the way that we use to get what we want, in the way of, you know, how we want to express ourselves. So Mars doesn't neatly help Sun to express itself the way that Venus and Mercury does. However, it's still sort of individualist. It's very much about the individual, and it can be very egoist as well. So now that we got that sort of entitlement down, let's go to ownership, because there are two, like, these, think of it as sort of a spectrum. Of one side you have ownership, and the other you have dominance. And so this is really important for Mars, because if you have a Mars that is very strong, and by that it's either in domicile or it's exalted. And so if your Mars is in Aries, Scorpio, or Capricorn, you have a strong Mars. And we'll get into weak Mars in a minute, because that's going to be a whole little dialogue in its own. But it's really important that you know the difference between ownership and dominance. So ownership is a more healthy expression of what you want to aim for. And that's being content with yourself. It's owning yourself, your life choices, controlling the situations that you're going in, the outcomes that you want. You know, you feel in control. You feel in control of your life, of your movement, of your expression, of the way that you pursue people, and all those types of things. Now, when it gets to an unhealthy, on the other side of the spectrum of dominance, you're not really in control of yourself. You feel like you're out of control. That's the thing. Dominance is not so much that you're in control, but that you feel out of control with yourself, and you compensate that by controlling other people and their lives and their situations and their outcomes. That is not something that you want. I mean, that is, that gets into violence, that gets into manipulation, and it hurts people, it like scars them for life. And so to be aware of that is to kind of be in your body and being present with your body. Because when you're not, and there's many factors in the birth chart that can sort of tell me if someone is in their body or not. And so when you're not, you feel out of control. And for you, as a strong Mars, you're able to do Mars things, or you're wanting to do Mars thing, which is, you know, ownership, being in control. And when you're not in control with yourself, that is when you tend to go over the line and you go to drastic measures in order to do that. And oftentimes that involves people, that involves in some cases, bruises, bullets, like, it's insane. Mars is a very serious planet, and I think it's important to talk about it in a very serious way. And how it does have a lot to do with violence, it has a lot to do with hurting people, being aggressive, taking out other people, fighting. It's just, that's Mars, unfortunately. But that's Mars. So, now let's go into traditional astrology and how they kind of think of Mars, because I think it's also interesting as well. So, Mars is often termed as a malefic, which means it's not a good planet. There's a benefic, which means it's really good. And then Mars and Saturn are sort of the malefics of the group. So for Mars, it's all about separation, cutting. Think of like knives and swords and things of that nature. And the reason why we do that is because oftentimes, you know, when we don't face what we gotta do, don't handle our business, it grows in excess and it inflames and then it hurts. You know, if you ever had an affection or some type of like, yeah, an affection, and it kind of getting inflamed, how it's building up and like bacteria and stuff, and it hurts, and you just gotta get rid of it somehow. Yeah, that's like the Martian process. Like something feel like it viscerally hurts, and you have to do something about it. And that something, it's not through, you know, communication. It's not through compromise and talking things out and reaching sort of a middle line. It's an all or nothing type of thing. And that's Mars. It's like you gotta cut yourself from the situation. You gotta cut yourself from this person. You have to do something. And that something that Mars gives us is this really sharp knife to cut the cord. And then we'll feel better. The thing of it is that, you know, cord cutting or just kind of removing yourself from situations are very hard to do when you're thinking about it, but it's kind of like an instantaneous thing, you know, or just kind of removing yourself and not having to worry about it, and then you feel better, the wound is able to sort of decompress, and you don't have that excess anymore that's sort of being annoying and getting infected. You're like finally removed from that. And so even though Mars is a malefic, and even though it's associated with violence and associated with aggression and all of these things, there are some good things about it. You know, it does talk about our drive and the way that we, you know, reach for our goals and how we, you know, wrestle through adversity, and also, you know, how well we are able to detach or cut ourselves from things when we actually really need to. And so if you have a strong Mars, you're good at this. Like, you're really good at this. If you have, you know, Mars in a not so good position, it's really hard for you to kind of know. I wouldn't say no, but to actually go with your intention. You know, acting on it. Action, a very important term to describe Mars. Very important term. And I think that's kind of where sexuality comes in, or like sex in general, because Mars is sort of the pursuer in sex. I'm not going to get into the sex debate. All I know is that I don't like using Mars for sex. Just my thing. Different episode for a different day, but that's just how, you know, how you feel about the situation. So now moving on to, okay, what happens if you have like a weak Mars? What does that mean? Or what if my Mars is in retrograde? And like, I'm going to give it to you. So for one, there are three signs where Mars is not like being in. It's Libra, Taurus, and Cancer. Libra and Taurus is where Mars is detriment. And they're also the opposite of its two domicile signs. And then it's in fall in Cancer, which is opposite of where it's exalted. If you don't know what those terms mean, just think of as detriment being where if Mars could have the opportunity to jump off a cliff or to be in Taurus or Libra, it would want to jump off a cliff. It does not like being in these two signs. Mars just hates being in these two signs. Doesn't work well. It's not able to do what it wants to do. Fall is sort of, it feels uncomfortable. Doesn't like being here, but it will be able to do what it needs to do. Using, in this case, lunar qualities, whereas Taurus and Libra are going to have to use Venus qualities, which, if you don't know, Venus represents totally opposite things of Mars, so it's a lot harder than Cancer or Moon for that case. So when you have a weak Mars, in any case, it's a lot harder to take up space. It's a lot harder to be filled with, you know, aggression and drive. And I think that impacts the way that you go for something, the way that you want something. Because normally, you know, when Mars is in its strong place, it's able to figure that out. But when you have a weak Mars, it's a little bit difficult to kind of chase for what you want or what you feel entitled to, because you don't like that word. You know, I mean, for me, it's a little bit different because I do have a Capricorn rising and I'm completely Saturn ruled. So my relationship with wanting things is a little bit different, but I still feel like I don't like aggression. I don't like violence. I don't like power in terms of how it benefits one individual and affects the other. And so that's the thing. When you have a weak Mars, you really just want an equal dynamic, because that's how things should work. And you're not much about fighting, but more so talking things out and communicating, figuring out where both parties could be satisfied. And the thing of it is like, sometimes that works, but in other cases where you have a situation, you have a person that's really causing you harm, and this harm is building up, and compromise at that point just doesn't work anymore. And in certain situations, compromise is not always it's not always the option. Sometimes you have to take the initiative and to cut someone out of your life. Thing is, for these three Mars signs, it's difficult. And it's not difficult because they're scared of it. It's difficult, I mean, in particular for Taurus, it's about changing up consistency and ruining that growth, that patient growth that Mars and Taurus does so well. For Mars and Libra, it's about losing someone. Someone that they probably, I mean, it's one less person in their life, you know. And they probably put a lot of energy into that one person. And for that just to go away, sucks. And for Cancer, it's sort of the vulnerability aspect of, this is going to take a lot of vulnerable energy out of me. I don't know if I could do this. I don't know if my body can take this. You know, and those are always the fears that kind of go on. And I know for anyone who's ever had to cut someone out of their life, there's always that, should I, like, were they really this bad? Am I just kind of, like, making this up in my head? Like, when, you know, it's just always sort of that thought process that happens with yourself, that mini set, that solo session. And you're asking all your friends, like, is this person toxic? And that's always a scary question. If you think about it, to think of someone that you know or that you've let into your life, into your space. And so I feel like, as someone who lives with a wounded Mars, it's very difficult for me to, I mean, eventually the other person like gets out of my life. You know, there's very few opportunities where I've actually had to cut someone out. You know, they eventually just take themselves out, luckily. It's the Aquarius energy. They scare people away. So I feel like, I haven't had a lot of opportunities where I had to cut someone out. But I feel like if I was ever in this situation, it would kind of be a little bit difficult for me, because you have to really stand up for yourself and be an advocate for yourself and put yourself first. That's another thing. It's like the Mars and the Venus signs and the moon sign is sort of just kind of like, it wants to put the other in front, or it worries about the other. A strong Mars doesn't give a fuck about anyone but itself. And so it's able to kind of navigate those situations in a very easy way. Whereas if you have a weak Mars, like, that's difficult. That's hard. That's like a really hard thing to do. And so it's something, you know, to tip wise on how to kind of deal with that is to not be afraid of chaos, because chaos is going to be inevitable. It's part of our lives. It's always going to be around. It's difficult to navigate, but once you realize that you can't escape from chaos and the best thing to do is to have perseverance and push through, is so helpful. And it's also about gaining confidence, and that's another thing. I know it's super hard to gain confidence for a lot of people, to deal with sort of self-esteem and body or identity issues and kind of accepting all of that. But having confidence and being able to think, yeah, I deserve better. I deserve better. I deserve a better friendship, a better relationship, better sex, like whatever it may be, you know, and you're just not cutting it. You're just not. I think it's also okay. Like, I would definitely recommend seeking out resources, people that you know, people that if you have sort of a weak Mars, maybe if you're doing one of those cord cutting situations, to bring a friend with you to kind of be your support system, and that you're not going to be alone, or have someone, you know, just wait for you while you're just kind of telling someone like, hey, I don't want you in my life anymore, and just be very safe in the situations, especially if it's relationships, especially if the context is a toxic, abusive one, to always have someone come with you, especially if your partner is a cis man. Again, trash. So that's sort of my little blurb on Mars. I mean, I like Mars. I feel like sometimes I have a love and hate relationship. Oh, I forgot to talk about the retrograde. So I'm like recording this episode like 1 a.m, so like forgive me. But retrograde is just astrology terms. It just means when a planet is moving slowly. And so its qualities take longer to kind of build up. And it's a lesson. It's something you have to learn throughout your lifetime to do better of. And so if you have like a Mars retrograde, for example, it's a lot. It takes a lot longer to kind of use those qualities. And so you have to really work at it. You probably need a mentor to kind of help you, to give you confidence advice with that journey. And another tip I wanted to provide is to stay in your body more, to be active, to, if you can, work out, do yoga, whatever, just be centered with your body, because then you'll be able to use it easier. So hopefully that helps with all your Mars related inquiries. I will see you soon when we go over horoscopes for February. Hello and welcome back for your horoscope for the month of February. So there are a few things that are happening this week. I feel like this week in particular is going to be the most astrological active week of the month. We already had Mercury going into Pisces, which we'll get into that. And then we also had the Moon conjunct Uranus and Mars. And we also have Mars soon to be conjunct Uranus. And we also have Mars going into Taurus. So there's a lot going on. Let's get into that Mercury and Pisces business, because that's going to be important. Mercury is going to stay in Pisces for a little bit. It will go retrograde in Pisces on the 8th of March, I'm pretty sure. And that's going to be a very tough retrograde period. And the reason why is because Mercury is already in fall. And so when Mercury goes retrograde, it's going to be a lot difficult. So you're going to have a very difficult Mercury RX period. Just letting you guys know, just so you know how to prepare. So Mercury is everything mundane. It's everything dealing with how we communicate with people, how we, you know, navigate our communities in terms of cars, in terms of transportation of any type of way. Also how, you know, how our mental health functions and how we move in our bodies a little bit in terms of activeness, how active we are. And so Pisces is very, it's not very sort of focused, directive in terms of logic and writing. It's more so based in visual and based in color and based in the feeling rather than sort of the thinking. And so that's how, you know, Mercury's going to be a little bit difficult under this sign, is because it's not being told to do the things that it's so used to doing. It's now having to sort of navigate through deliriousness, through illusions, through things that aren't based in logic anymore. Can't use science. Science is going to be meaningless during this time. You may see some conflict with science. I run Oreo with my segments, so if you hear me chewing on anything, it's because I'm eating my Oreo. But yeah, Mercury in Pisces is sort of where you kind of slow down. Like, literally slow down. It's where you get a little bit uneasy with directions and you get lost. You don't really pay attention. And I think the first day that Mercury went into Pisces this week, I could not get out of bed. I had, like, no energy. And so it's really important to take care of yourself during this time, to keep yourself active if you can, and to try and stay focused, and to sort of, when you're going through like big events or whatever that you're preparing for, to double check on everything that you need on how to get there and things of that nature, because it's very easy to get caught up, confused. Confusion is going to be a Mercury Pisces thing. So we also have Mars going into Taurus on the 14th, a really good day for sex. I say that because it's going to, you know, Taurus is ruled by Venus, so Mars is going to be in a Venus sign, and it's going to be a really good time to connect through the body, through sensuality. It's a really good transit. The thing is that Mars, as we've said, is not really good in Taurus or Libra. So what does this mean? This means that whereas Mars is sort of representing our drive and things that we want, we have to be a little bit more calculative of what that is. And we have to sort of be patient with what we want. And so Mars in Taurus is working with growth. It's being consistent over time. It's, you know, planting the seed and watching it grow. A harvest, so to say. And so you're not going to be as active during this time. You're not going to be as angry during this time. You kind of want to see how things turn out. Kind of want to talk things through. Finances could be, an issue. Typically can be. Can be a little bit spendy with your finances and hoarding some things. You may want to throw out some possessions or just to kind of clear up your area. But overall, you're not going to be as sort of aggressive and like in people's faces and like yelling on the road. You're not going to do any of that. It's going to be a more slower energy. So let's talk about this Uranus conjunct Mars business. So that is happening on the 12th. So by the time this episode is posted, Mars will be conjunct to Uranus, and it's going to last for a couple of days on to the 14th. And so Mars conjunction Uranus is a very clumsy type of energy. It's where you're prone to get hurt, especially, you know, through body movement or through mechanical. So like car accidents, bike accidents, hitting your body on the sidewalk or concrete, whatever it may be. And it's sort of that very high strung impulsive energy. And Uranus is also very impulsive as well. It's very sort of like in burst and sparks. It's like electricity. And so when that fire hits that electricity, it's going to like cause a lot of recklessness, a lot of high energy. And so it's very easy for us to kind of move quick and not think, or kind of be, especially since Mercury is also going to be in fall. So having that thinking as like tact is not going to be very useful to us. So it's very important that you watch where you're going, to also be present with your body and to know what your body wants. Just be very careful. It's also a time where you can engage in very argumentative debates and really get into people's faces and be very angry. And this transit isn't like a warrior battle of the death showdown like a Mars square Pluto was, but it is going to be sort of very strong. It's going to be very reckless. You're going to want to do crazy things. You're going to want to take chances. And you have to be a little bit careful with those chances, because they could very much put you in harm's risk. So just be aware. Just be aware. In harm's way. I know I said that wrong. Okay. So towards the end of the month, we don't really have a lot going on. Now we have the sun moving into Pisces. This calendar is not telling me when that is, so I can't really tell you the exact day, but it usually moves into Pisces after the 18th. And so with sun moving into Pisces, we now have a sort of theme of collective consciousness and really kind of invoking awareness for the greater of all, and wanting to kind of inspire collective generosity, you know, collective kindness, you know, charity, and also it's a higher vibration. And this is really going to provoke a lot of, I don't want to say daydreaming, but kind of unlocking really strong creativity that kind of combines you with the whole, and also a lot of existential crisis, you know, subliminally, all those types of things. So yeah, you can get a lot, you know, you can get all over the place, get a little reckless. For some people, it can be a very sleepy time for them. I know for me, it's always like low energy, so I have to make sure to keep up with myself. So it's really, you know, with that Mercury also in Pisces, you want to make sure you're on top of your things and you're not falling behind, especially since it's going to be wrapping up the school year when all this stuff is happening, or like right around the time of midterms or whatever. So it's important to be mindful. We also have, let's see what we have. So we have Mercury square Jupiter, and Jupiter is, I want to say Jupiter is going to help out Mercury a little bit, because Jupiter rules Pisces, and so it's going to kind of be sort of Jupiter picking up Mercury and kind of helping them as they're sort of struggling through this really weird time. It's going to inspire a lot of generosity, a lot of thinking, maybe surrounding religion, or the way that people, you know, around faith and the way that people strive and hold their faith. It's also a time where it could get a little bit argumentative, a little bit of a soapbox moment, not really listening to what the other person has to say and sort of dominating the conversation, and really priding what you believe. And so there could be a lot of issues with that I believe statement around the 22nd when this aspect happens. Mercury will also be conjunct Neptune going to the 19th of February, so kind of going a little bit in reverse. And again, be careful with contracts, be careful with your decisions, be careful where you send your emails and your text messages. Be aware, because this could be an energy where you send something to the wrong person, where you thought you didn't see something in the terms and conditions, but it was actually there, but you didn't read it thoroughly, so now you're kind of stuck in this contract. Just be aware. The traditional modes of communication are like no longer substantial in these cases, so something to think about. And then, you know, we have some Venus conjunct Pluto, and that's just going to be sort of an interesting time for relationships. interesting time for relationships. It's going to be, you know, where things get a little rough. Things get a little bit difficult. In particular, with a Venus conjunction Pluto, there needs to be trust in these cases. Love will be taken to new stages. Stages that feel really uncomfortable. Pluto sort of unlocks a lot of trauma and unlocks a lot of secrets, so to say. A lot of weight. And Venus is someone that, it's a planet that represents binding people, bringing them together. Love, platonic love, doesn't matter what it is. And so intimacy during this time is going to be very powerful. Usually it's a form of healing. And so what I have to say is, you know, dealing with trauma, the way that we heal as humans is through partnership, is through human connection. And so this could be a really good opening where we could use that. It's also an opening where you could really engage in bad behaviors with your partner, whether that's stalking them, whether that's hurting them. Power dynamics. They also exist in interpersonal spaces. So just be aware. And then we have a Sun sextile to Mars. And that's going to be interesting. I feel like it's going to be not going to be the traditional Sun sextile to Mars, in the case that Mars is in detriment and the Sun's in Pisces, which not the best in. I'm going to be real with you. So I feel like this energy is really going to be focused on creative expression and using that and getting further with their creative projects and kind of having time for ourselves and taking the initiative to have time for ourselves and to sort of regenerate and nourish ourselves, bring us, you know, more energy, more like center stage type of like just centering ourselves. And those are pretty much all that is happening important this wise during this month. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Sorry that I was eating an Oreo, but it's like late here and I just wanted to record this episode and kind of get out there because I know you guys have been waiting patiently for a podcast episode. So make sure to rate this podcast. Make sure to comment on this podcast if you can. And I'll speak to you guys soon.